Good morning, church. Good to be with you again. Thankful for what the Lord's doing. So I know I say that every time, but just thankful to be here. Thankful to be alive. Thankful that God has entrusted this generation with 2020. I know that's not the popular opinion right now, but He didn't put us on anything. I'm sure He has confidence in some of us that we have the ability to make it through this thing. So if you have your Bibles, open it to Daniel chapter 6. If that sounds familiar, it is familiar because I preached out of this last week, and I'm going to talk about there's a new sheriff in town part two. There's a new sheriff in town part two. And I'm going to use a verse and just one verse out of this. I'm going to read chapters verses 1 through 10 in Daniel chapter 6, but I'm just going to read one use one verse to take the subject from this morning. And just talk about a little bit. I couldn't get this, these few verses out of my heart and out of my spirit last week. And, I think there's a reason for that. But last week, let me read it here and then we'll review a little bit. And then, we'll talk about what the Lord's given us to preach on. So, like I said, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. And then we'll talk about what the Lord's given us. So here's what the Bible says. Daniel chapter 6. I'm in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 10. This is what the Bible says. It says, "It pleased Darius to set the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto him, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Now watch this. These verses 3 and verses 4 will be verses 3 through 5 will be our main focus. But it says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except the law against him concerning his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree, sign the writing, that it may not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened, his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees there three times and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." So I want to talk to you. On part two, there's a new sheriff in town, and I want to go over a few things here. Last week we preached on this subject, and we talked about in verse 3, it says that then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, and there's excellent spirit in him. And then we get down to verse 4, it says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel." One thing we learned last week is that corrupt government is old as the Bible days, okay? So, corruption that's happening, corruption that takes place in the government, no matter what level of government it is, it's old as the Bible days. It's nothing. Things that go on in society today, there's nothing really like new about it. It's just different ways, different things going on. But corrupt government is old as the Bible days. Okay, so in Daniel we find these presidents and princes. They want to take Daniel out. They don't really have any reason. They just want to take him out. Okay. Next thing was we learned last week is the government's actions did not alter Daniel's spirit. Okay. So what was going on in the government? What the news was portraying in that day? Whatever letters they, I don't know how they got their word across. There wasn't TVs or anything of that nature. But the government did not alter Daniel's spirit, and we have to be awful careful in the world that we're living in today, that the things that happen, the things, the news reports, things that go on, we have to be awful careful that doesn't begin to alter our spirit. Okay, our confidence should be in God. Our
Our ability, our faith, our trust should be in God. Although we should be concerned sometimes about things going around it, the government should not our spirit because we got the ultimate trust and the ultimate faith in God for Him to accomplish what He set out to accomplish. Okay. Next thing was we talked about last week was His government didn't alter His pattern. In verse 10 it says, when he had knew the writing had been signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So he did the same thing that he did before. The government may have changed the rules. The laws may have been changed. These people had this attack on him, but he still went back and stuck with his pattern of what was working. Okay, if we're not careful, when we're going along, things are going good, God's blessing, things are working out in our favor. I mean, He's really doing things great for us. We got this pattern, we're studying the Bible, we're praying, we're working towards accomplishing a goal. If we're not careful, we'll let things around us distract us from our pattern, okay? And it's important for us as Christians to have that intimate, individual time with God, because that begins to develop our relationship with Him, and that's what gets us through tough times, okay? But what happens in life so much is, and I'm finding it's more of talking to people than it is actually the news or anything of that nature. The news, I expect, we have this expectation of the news to be crooked, to all these different things. I mean, we have this, but what happens is when the people begin to surround us, when they begin to talk negative and all of the, like, the woe is me, like, just down in the mouth, that affects me more than any news media outlet does. And it's important for me to realize that although things may look bad, people might think they're bad, I still believe in God. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. And I can't let that alter my pattern, okay? No matter who occupies the White House, no matter who's the governor, no matter who's the senator, whatever that may be, my pattern should stay the same, because my faith is not in our government. My faith is in a heavenly government, and I believe the heavenly government outrules the earthly government, okay? So that's important to remember, that, like, government should not alter our pattern. Daniel did this. He prayed before he was ever in that position, and he's still going to pray after he's in this position. So that's important to remember. And the next thing was, we talked about last week, was his government didn't change his thankfulness, okay? He was always thankful for what God had given him and the positions that God has placed for him. So I want to spend most of our time this morning. Let's look at verse 3 again. It says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Okay, now, if you go back to chapter 1 and read about Daniel, you'll realize that he was an outsider. He was basically in captivity. Okay, but when we look at this verse, we find it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. The word excellent in this verse is pretty much self-explanatory. There's no, like, outside definition that I can tell you that doesn't actually come from the word. But in the Strong's, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it's actually just exceedingly excellent. Webster defines it a little more different. It says very good of its kind or first class. But there was an excellent spirit inside of Daniel. Now, notice that it doesn't say that there was an excellent preacher inside of Daniel, or there was an excellent singer inside of Daniel. It doesn't necessarily classify what type of spirit was in him. It just said that there was an, I mean like a different form of ministry spirit. It just says there was an excellent spirit in him. So what that tells me about Daniel is that he was excellent in everything he did. Okay, and I know I've said this 3 or 4 times, but if he came to clean your house, he would clean out the couch cushions, okay? And I don't know how your couch cushions are, but when you have kids, couch cushions get pretty rough. I mean, there's Fruit Loops down there, there's change down there, there's broken pencils, sometimes you find the remote down there, and that's when you discover actually how much stuff is in your couch cushions. But if he came to clean your house, he would clean out the couch cushions, okay? But see, here's what we do as Christians is, we'll be excellent in one area of our lives, but then we'll slack in another area. You follow what I'm saying? Like, we'll come to church and we'll claim to be a Christian. We'll claim these claims as being a Christian and working in some area of ministry, but then we'll go to our job and we'll slack in that area. And then that doesn't make sense to people of the world. Okay? Because when I read this book, when I begin to look at, do we really understand the spirit of excellency? Daniel had a spirit of excellence, and whatever he did, it was done with excellency. There was no getting by, just doing something halfway or all those different things. If he was coming to your church to preach, he took time to work on his lesson. If he was coming to your church to sing, he put effort into practicing and getting his instruments ready and different things. If he worked for you, he was always on time. He was there punctual. He did his job with excellency. He did things in a way that got noticed. I mean, he would have had this excellent spirit in him that anything he did would have been done well and would have been done great. See, and look at this verse. It says, this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. So do we really understand the word excellence? I mean, when we think about our lives and going about our lives, well, do we really understand the word being excellent in the things we do? And it's important for us to realize that whatever place God has positioned us in, okay, let's take it a little bit on a personal level. Maybe God's put us in a marriage, okay? I believe my marriage was ordained by God before the foundations of the world. I believe I'm married of the love of my life. I believe that I'm in the right place with the right person. And I want to have my marriage. I want to be excellent in my marriage, okay? And a lot of times we just think, well, I want to be good at what I do. I want to be good at a career. I want to be good at a talent or something of that nature. But what if God wants us to be excellent in our marriage? Let's take it a step further. What if God wants us to be excellent in our parenting skills? What if He wants us to work on our parenting skills where we'll be able to raise children and let them work for the kingdom of God and just spread the gospel and all those different things? See, there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. Everything he did was good. Everything. I'm talking about everything Daniel did was good. And that leads me to my next point, because his spirit of excellency paved the way for promotion. When we look at this verse, we begin to understand that everything we do can be done with an excellent spirit. Okay? And what happened was is that when Daniel had this excellent spirit in him, it paved the way for him to be promoted. The king took notice of his excellent spirit. It says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Notice that the king noticed the spirit that was in Daniel. The king watched. The king understood. The king began to promote him. This could go in a multitude of different ways about that king. That we could look at that from the physical. We could look at that from the spiritual. We could look at that all different avenues. But the king noticed what was going on inside of Daniel, and he noticed it so much. Watch this with me, and he thought to set him over the whole realm. The whole thing, this guy had an excellent spirit in him, and the king trusted him so much that he was going to set him over the whole realm. Wow. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was in captivity. He was brought into the palace. He was tempted to eat the king's food. He said in his heart, he's not going to defile himself that way. The king began to take notice of Daniel, and notice it says in that verse, this Daniel, the king began to take notice of him, and this excellent spirit just worked so great inside of Daniel that the king thought to set him over the whole land. Wow. Wow. You know, a lot of times, I mean, I don't know how it is. I haven't had a job outside of working for myself in a long time, but I thought about, you know, when I was working for other people in different natures, there was people that would do certain things to try to get promoted. Or there were people, like in sports, there's people that do certain things to try to get promoted. But when you notice somebody who has an excellent spirit in them, when you notice somebody that does things right, not just for edification or to try to get built up, or just they do it in front of you but not behind the scenes, but when you find somebody that truly does something with excellency, it leads to their promotion. Okay, the king took notice. Now let's this just came to me, but let's take this from a spiritual aspect one time. When you begin to do things in your life with the spirits of excellency, I believe the King of Kings will take notice, and I believe he'll begin to take care of you in a way that I don't think you'll ever imagine that he ever could. Okay. And
That's not the prosperity gospel. That's the Bible. Okay. When we think about God, when we think about His blessings, and we think about, like the Bible says, His mercies are new every morning and all those different things, and they begin to flow out of us. And I'm not saying He's not going to bless you if you don't have a spirit of excellency in you. I'm saying, how much greater could your life be if you begin to do things with a spirit of excellency? Maybe in your marriage, maybe with your children, maybe in your relationships, maybe in your friendships, maybe just taking care of what God's granted you to have right now. And just remember that His excellency led to his promotion. Okay. And next thing is, excellency is often misunderstood or attacked. Being excellent in something is often misunderstood or attacked. Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning his kingdom. Now watch this with me. But they could find none occasion nor fault. Nothing. They couldn't find any skeletons in this guy's closet. They couldn't find nothing against him. They couldn't find his teeth were clean. He brushed his teeth. He probably combed his hair. If he had a beard, it would look good. I mean, they could not find anything against him. Now, do you live your life in a way they can't find anything against you? I mean, when you get right down to it, when you begin to think about after salvation, do you live your life in a way that people can't find anything against you? Excuse me. Do you think about that with me? When they begin to look at Daniel, you know how things happen when certain people get into positions. The first thing they do when people are successful is, it's not congratulations or wow, look at what you've accomplished. When successful people begin to get in certain positions, they begin to tear people down. I'll never forget, and I've used this example before, and I'm going to use it again, but Chick-fil-A, from what I understand, began to gain steam. I don't know when, but they just began to get popular there for a little bit. And Truett Cathy was the CEO of it. Now watch this with me. Truett Cathy was the CEO, and they do think Chick-fil-A does things with excellency, I believe. I mean, you go through the drive-thru up there, and it can be backed up out into almost the Sam's parking lot, and I mean, it's just moving. It's faster than well, never mind. We'll just let that go. But they're fast. They do things with a spirit of excellency. They do things. They accomplish things. Well, Truett Cathy was asked what he believed about marriage one time. And he said, I believe in the biblical form of marriage, which basically he's saying, I believe in what the Bible says about marriage. And you know, they just begin to attack that man. He didn't say nothing. He didn't say anything wrong. He just said strictly what he believed. He said, I believe in the biblical form of marriage. That's what he said. He didn't bash anybody. He didn't put anything down. After that, they're just begin this attack on him. I mean, I'm telling you, just like they begin to tear him apart. And they begin to tear him apart because he was successful. He was successful. And you know, a lot of times when we get around successful people, when we surround ourselves with the successful people, when we're part of successful people, it does one of two things for us. It either creates jealousy in us or it motivates us. Okay? And one thing that I've learned over the years is when I get around successful people or when I'm around somebody that's actually good at their craft, when I'm talking about good at their craft, I'm talking about maybe they're the best lawn, like maybe they can stripe up a yard like I've never seen anything in my life. And what that does is that either leads to one of two things. You either begin to tear that person down or it motivates you to do better. Okay, and when we get around people with an excellent spirit in them, when we get around people that care about what they do, that take passion, that takes really good care of what they do, it should motivate us to do better. But society has begun to develop, so that's one thing I think that's bad about social media and younger kids' lives is they go out here and they take these selfies. Okay, and everybody's created in the image of God. I mean, everybody was created with certain attributes, with certain just things on their face, on their body that God created them with. And what happens is in young kids' lives is we see these pictures of each other, and it's hard to compliment other people, but in the same sense, we can tear them down behind the scenes. Okay. And whenever we think about, that's the same way with when we get around people with an excellent spirit in them, it should either motivate us or we begin to tear them down. And that's what we understand about chapter 6 is when things are done with excellency, it's often misunderstood or attacked.
And when we look at Daniel, it says, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They could not find anything wrong with Daniel, okay? And when I think about one of my favorite verses dealing with this in the entire Word of God, is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. So, whatever you find to do, okay, whatever you find to do, that there's no classification. That whatsoever means whatever you find to do. Whether it's washing your car, whether it's taking care of your house, whether it's raising your children, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your job, whether it's your career, whether it's your schooling, whatever it may be, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. With everything in you, do it with all your might or it's not worth doing. Okay? So I just want you to understand that point, that when excellency is often misunderstood and attacked. So when people get good, when people begin to do things with excellency, when they begin to work hard, you're either going to be misunderstood or you're going to be attacked. Okay, and that's pretty right on in today's society. Okay, when successful people begin to step up and do things, they normally get attacked or whatever. Last point I want to bring out this morning is live our life excellent and let God handle the rest. So what I'm saying about this is live your life in an excellent way and let God handle the rest. Look at verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. They couldn't find anything. They looked. They dug up his skeletons. They looked at his past dating records. They looked at what grades he got in his school. They looked at what job he held. All these different things. They looked him up. They tried to figure him out, okay? And then they said, we cannot find anything against him, except we find it on the law concerning his God. Here's my statement about this is, live your life in a way of excellency and let God handle the rest. Just give it to God. Live your life in a way that, hey, come here, find me. I'll never forget, I was an RA in college. I went to AB and I graduated from college. And I have my faults, don't get me wrong, but I never was into drugs or alcohol. I just never did. I never seen any interest in it. It never really got me. Now I had issues in college. I'm not going to say I didn't. I wasn't where I should have been, let me say that. But there were some RAs that began to bust some people with different substances. I'll just put it to you that way. And there was some people that said, like, the RAs need to be checked out too. So they called us in our office. Our boss called us in his office and he said, listen, there's been some discussion that maybe the RAs are using some substances or drinking some substances as well. We're going to have to come and check your room out. Well, my first statement was this. My door is always open. And in college, we lived in a room. It was room 107 in Priestley Dorm. We lived in there, and 99% of the time in the summer when it was warm outside, our door was left open. I'm talking about all the time it was left open. And when boss called me in, I said, listen, my door is always open. You're welcome anytime. And what I began to realize was I want to live my life in a way and I'll let God handle the rest. Live your life in a way, be honest, be hardworking, be excellent in what you do. Live your life in a way that people can't find anything against you except for God. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let God handle the rest. Right? I'm not going to, a lot of time, you know, one of the things the Lord taught me over the last few years is road rage. And I know some of you are laughing right now because maybe you have road rage or maybe you feel that road rage. But I've learned over the last few years that, you know, like, road rage doesn't benefit me. Okay, say somebody cuts me off or somebody pulls out in front of me or say, like, something happens and, like, I used to get all worked up about it. I mean, I used to, like, I get aggravated and, you know, for the next few hours of the day, I was just mad. I mean, and the funny part about the thing is the people that cut me off or the people that do something, 98% of the time, they didn't even know what they did anyways because they weren't paying attention or anything. And I would get so worked up over those things, you know. But you know what I begin to do is, I just begin to, if people cut me off, God bless you.
I'm not getting worked over it. Because what happens is that reaction inside of me produces something, and then people begin to have something against me just because of the way I act on certain situations. And it's important to us to realize that let's just begin to live our life in a spirit of excellency. We'll let God handle the rest. That road rage person, that person that cut me off, God will handle that situation. Those people that are talking bad behind your back. And trust me, if you're doing anything good, if you're doing anything with a spirit of excellency, there's going to be people talking behind your back. God will handle the rest, okay? So what I began to realize was, I'm just going to live my life the best way I know how with a spirit of excellency. Even in my driving skills, I want to do that. And I'll let God handle the rest, okay? But just think about that this week. I know there's a lot going on. I know our church, there's a lot of people sick. There's a lot of things going on around the church, and there's a lot of pressure going on right now, I feel, but let's pray. Let's pray, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. I thank you. I know I've been talking a lot about this lately, Lord, but I'm thankful for that old book and those people in that book, God. I'm thankful for those people that have been examples for me, God, that have changed my life, that have shown me that, hey, you can do this thing. Just work hard and stick with it and stay focused on me and have your time and relationship with me, God. And I'm thankful that I can have a relationship with you, Lord, no matter what's going on around me. I'm thankful one day, Lord, that veil broke and it allowed me access. And Hebrews says we can come boldly to the throne of grace, God. Not really in a bold sense, but Lord, I can come confidently knowing that you can help me, God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a God that can help me. And I need a God that can help me, God. In times going like this with all the sickness in our church, God, I just need a God that can reach down and can soothe and can help me in time. So, Lord, I just pray for this church, Lord. I pray for all the people that are sick, all the people that are in the hospital. I pray that you'd give them a peace, God. I pray that you would give them a quick recovery, Lord. I pray that you would heal them from on high and just bless them in a mighty way. So, Lord, I'll never forget to praise you and thank you for what you're doing in my life, God. I don't think I could have experienced this 2020 any other way, Lord. And you know, there was a lot of messages and a lot of people talking about 2020 vision, God. And I think one thing God's trying to do is he's trying to give his people a clearer vision, Lord. He's taken some things away and he's put us in position to have a clearer vision. So Lord, be with us, anoint us from on high. In your name we pray. Amen.